Hey friends, welcome to Sex Cult Radio. My name is Callie Rain, and welcome to episode 20. Yay! I think I'm going to call this episode Sex Work Underground and Far Away, and we're going to be talking about Melvina Massey. I reached out to one of the editors of my favorite new book, Historical Sex Work, New Contributions from History and Archaeology. For those of you who've been listening to the podcast, you have heard me nerd out about this book many, many, many times. I will include it in the show notes, of course. And I heard back from Miss Angela Smith. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I will read her response on her work with Melvina Massey because I think it touches to something that I have experienced pretty fiercely and deeply as a sex worker, and I think it would be fun and interesting to talk about. So before we get into that, our sex worker shout out of the day is Mistress Ava O. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Miss Ava O, for your beautiful sacred work. For those of you who are not familiar, I have been following her account for a little over a year now, perhaps. I've been following her work online for a while. She is a dominatrix. I don't exactly remember where her home base is, but she's an international dominatrix. She seems to travel quite a bit. And I have watched a few of her recorded Instagram lives that she has posted on her page, and I love them. I love her voice, and I love how in one episode in particular, she had mentioned going to storytelling for scene ideas, and I thought that was brilliant and beautiful. Because we tend to pick up books on flogging and instruments and all of that. And all of that is important. Don't get me wrong. Safety and understanding the tools and implements that you're using is, of course, extremely important. But I really love how she draws inspiration from novels and movie scenes. And she's really fascinating, wonderful. Wonderful creative, and I think y'all will enjoy her work very much. Thank you, Miss Ava O at You Will Please Me on Instagram. Thank you for your sacred work. And moving on, a super low pressure happy ask. If you are able to contribute financially in any way today, thank you, thank you, thank you. Please understand there is no pressure. It has been a really, really tough year for a lot of us, myself included, as a full-service sex worker. But if you are one of the lucky people who has had a great year fiscally due to whatever industry you're in, we are a 501c3 religious nonprofit dedicated to the elevation of consciousness through sex and sexuality. One way we do that is by celebrating the fuck out of sex workers because they're amazing. And I'm so excited that I get to shout someone out every episode. It makes me want to do these things more because I have a list of so many people that I want to highlight and shout out, and it's really, really fun. So that is a big chunk and crux of the work that we do at the Abyssian Union, which is the 501c3 nonprofit where I work. I am the High Priestess, which is my very fancy tarot title, as I like to call it. That's the low pressure happy ask. If you aren't able to give, I get it. Thank you for the power and gift and privilege of your attention. That is amazing. But if you are able to give in any way, or if you just think I'm hot and would like to give us money, thank you. I work very hard at it. You can donate today at abyssian.org, abyssian.org. So first of all, I would like to give a big shout out to all of the Spider-Mans who have been contacting me. This is really fucking fun, and I'm having so much fun nerding out and thinking about all of these hot cosplay porn ideas that I would like to try and play with and start to put together. So thank you, thank you, thank you to all of the Spider-Mans who have been reaching out about my casting notice. This is quite delicious and super fun. So thank you, thank you. Also, another shout out to Mr. Johnny Rocket, my first sponsor of my MTG magic scheme. It's not really that much of a scheme. I'm just signing some of my old Magic the Gathering cards from my Kaladesh deck and putting little pink eyes in my skull swamps. And thank you, Mr. Johnny Rocket, for being my first patron. This is a project I'm very excited about. I'll also be selling some of my regular cards, or my cards that are unsigned, if I do have any valuable ones or semi-valuable ones, on my Minivid store. I think I'll probably put those up. But yeah, I've got some little signed land and mana cards at the moment, and I'm really excited to continue. So that's probably a good time to take a break. When we come back, I'm super excited to talk about the news yesterday that New York is going to stop prosecuting crimes. I'm going to fuck this up. I'm going to take a break and then read it like a grown-up. But the New York Times released some very, very exciting news yesterday for those of us who live in Manhattan. It's not full decrim because it's not written down on paper. It would be really nice to have it writ down somewhere, but it is a very, very, very exciting step that made me cry a whole bunch yesterday, and I'm very excited to talk about it. See you after the break. Hey, friends. Welcome back to Sex Cult Radio. My name is Callie Rain. And this just in, I repeat, this just in, Jonathan Bell says that episode one of this podcast is a very good episode, and he's excited to listen to episode two. So suck it. All right, let's get into some very exciting other news in Manhattan. So the New York Times released a piece yesterday by Jonah E. Bromwich called Manhattan to Stop Prosecuting Prostitution, Part of Nationwide Shift. The district attorney, Cyrus R. Vance Jr., moved to dismiss thousands of cases dating back decades amid a growing movement to change the criminal justice system's approach to prostitution. Like I said, this isn't full decrim, but this is really, really exciting. I'll read this last bit and then I'll leave you there. But the announcement represents a substantive shift in the Manhattan District Attorney's approach to prostitution. Many of the cases Mr. Vance moved to dismiss dated to the 1970s and 80s, when New York waged a war against prostitution in an effort to clean up its image as a center of iniquity and vice. So, like I said, not full decrim, but it is a very, very exciting step that I am super, super excited to celebrate. And I firmly believe that when we start seeing more cities like New York and San Francisco that refuse to persecute any crimes based on sex work, I think we'll start to see more and more of the country start to open up to that idea as well. So I'm really, really excited about it. If y'all would like to read that article, I will include it in the show notes below. And another bit of news that I'm very excited about. Like I said, Ms. Angela Smith reached out to me after I had approached her, or via email. I had sent her an email about possibly speaking on the podcast if she was available. And she's got a crazy busy end of the semester, but I am very excited to say that perchance we may speak later on in the summertime and when things slow down. But anyway, I'm going to stop my fangirling and read you a passage about her work on Melvina Massey, because that is the big meat of what I would like to talk about today. So Melvina Massey is one of the madams and sex workers that is covered in my new favorite book, Historical Sex Work, New Contributions from History and Archaeology. And I'll read you a little bit about, I'll read you what Angela wrote via email. I was drawn to the historical sex work research through the lens of Madame Melvina Massey, 1840 to 1911, the subject of my chapter in the book. She existed in a time when red light districts were seen as a necessary evil to take care of men's sexual needs. The push to drive sex work underground occurred as part of the progressive era of the early 20th century. For researchers, that change made it so much harder to trace the women or men who worked in the field after the 1910s because sex work was not practiced as openly. I am also interested in the philosophical and spiritual ideas about the body, sexuality, and sexual practice throughout American history. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Angela Smith. And I am too. I am also fascinated to understand what was going on with practices around the body and sexuality around that time period. Because remember, this is the time when sex work was just criminalized. In 1910, that is when the Mann Act of 1910 came into effect, and sex work became illegal. Or not sex. You can look up the wording. It's something like transporting people for immoral purposes. It's vague and terrifying and awful. But anyway, this is a really interesting point in history, and I keep thinking to myself that my understanding of what happened back then, I just sort of assume that it's a bunch of people with conservative ideals. But I would really like to research that further, because I don't want to assume. Because even though the dominant voice in the courts may have reflected those conservative ideals that I'm speaking about, perhaps that wasn't the most popular opinion. And we have had several instances throughout history and sex work in particular where the law doesn't represent the most popular attitude around the industry and sexuality in general. So I would really like to research that further too. I just kind of throw it under the rug as blanket conservatism, but I'm really interested to research that a little bit more. So another interesting thing that comes up in the history of sex work is that after 1910, after it was criminalized, there's virtually a book burning of who sex workers were and what they did, because it was criminalized. So people had to use different names. They hid from the public eye because it was a crime. They often moved far away from their families, which is something that Melvina Massey has done. And something that I have resonated with as well, because sex work is so stigmatized that one of my biggest concerns was people being cruel to my family. Because I can take it, I can deal with stupid comments and things that may demonstrate someone's misconceptions around sex work and sexuality, but I was really, really concerned for people being cruel to my family, and I think that's something that everyone can identify with, sex workers in particular, especially those who don't have children. I don't have children, so I have the benefit of at least knowing that they're not going to be taken away from me if I come out about what I do. But I was really nervous about people being mean and nasty to my family for no reason other than their own insecurities and stupid practices. So I understand that. A lot of us move to different cities or practice in different towns for that reason and many other reasons. It might be cheaper, it might be a bigger, more lucrative area. There are lots of reasons to go underground and far away in your sacred sexual practices. But that's something that I wanted to bring up today, because it is important. And every fucking day I get more and more excited about seeing the stigma start to fall away. So this story, or this podcast episode, does have a very happy ending at the very least, because while I was very, very concerned about that when I first started coming out and being more public about the work that I do a little over a year and a half ago, I had a much, much bigger fear and anxiety around all of those concerns. And now, just a year into this work, I'm feeling a lot better and a lot more excited to share who I am and not be afraid or ashamed of who I am. I think that's probably a good place to end today. Thank you so much for joining me today on episode 20 of Sex Cult Radio. My name is Callie Rain. Be kind to sex workers. Be kind to fucking everyone.